Thank you, choir. Great job. We appreciate that this morning. Amen, church. Amen. Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Warren didn't mention that I would be filling in this morning. In case you're wondering, Phil is sick, and he called me and asked me to fill in for him today. And so again, Warren didn't mention that. They may be wondering over in the contemporary service what's going on and why they're seeing me up here. But I was going to say that Wednesday night, I filled in for Phil. I'm going to be doing so throughout the month of April. I began a four-part sermon series Wednesday night. And not only that, but we had a substitute piano player. We had a substitute person leading worship. We had a substitute person in the sound booth. Of course, you know, our first string all on vacation is spring break week, and there's nothing wrong with going on vacation. So we had an all substitute team Wednesday night. And so Warren filled in for me Wednesday night, and he got up here and he told the crowd, he said, if you don't feel like you're getting your money's worth, you can all leave. So I'm glad he didn't do that today, and I guess that's why he didn't tell you I was filling in. You might have all left or something. But anyway, I am honored to be filling in for Dr. May this morning and stand before you. I'm going to ask that we jump right to it, jump right in it. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'll say this also about Warren. He must have seen my sermon notes because he almost preached my message this morning. That's exactly the story we're going to be looking at, the triumphant entry of Jesus. And this story, of course, is told in all four Gospels, and we're going to look at Luke's version this morning. Luke chapter 19, we're going to begin with verse 28 and read through verse 40. Notice what it says. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he came near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing him? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him. So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own garments on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of a Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Notice that. The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. As we come to this point in the service, Lord, pray that we would just open our hearts and be receptive to your word. Thank you for our time of worship and your presence here this morning. Bless everyone here, Lord, and I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. God, give me the words to say for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that everybody loves a parade. That certainly seems to be true in our own American society. We give parades for holidays, sports teams, politicians, and even our own designated heroes. I read an article about a couple of well-known parades that took place in our own country. It was many years ago, but it told about on October 29th, 1927, a ticker tape parade was given in the honor of Charles Lindbergh in New York City in honor of his solo flight across the Atlantic Ocean. During this parade, there were 750,000 pounds of ticker tape that was poured out on the streets. The article went on to tell about another parade that took place on March 1st, 1962. This also took place in New York. It was in honor of astronaut John Glenn after he became the first American to fly around the Earth in a spacecraft. After that parade, the New York Sanitation Department picked up 3,474 tons of ticker tape and confetti along the 7 mile parade route. Yes, everybody loves a parade, and it was certainly no different in Jesus' day. Here we read how the people gathered in the streets and cheered and shouted and celebrated as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. But there was no confetti and there was no ticker tape. Warren mentioned how the people cut down palm branches and waved those and laid them in the street ahead of Jesus. As I mentioned, this story is in all four Gospels. In the book of Mark, talks about the cutting down of the palm branches and laying those in the street. And also Luke mentions here, and also in the book of Mark, it mentions how the people used their own clothes to pave the way for Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. These acts by the people were symbols of victory. This was something that was done in Bible times as an expression of joy and celebration. This laying down of your clothes or palm branches was a way to pay tribute to an earthly king. But we see here in Scripture that the people did these things to pay tribute to Jesus. There's something else that's also important to note about this triumphant entry of Jesus. This event took place at the beginning of the Jewish Passover holiday. That was a week-long festival where all the Jewish people that lived in that part of the world would travel back to Jerusalem to take part in this Jewish festival, this week-long holiday, if you will, this week-long celebration of this Jewish festival. Historians from that time period tell us, they estimate that about during those years, there were about 1 million people that would travel back to Jerusalem to take part in this Jewish holiday. So they say that in Jerusalem, during the time that Jesus went there, there was probably 2 to 3 million people in the city. And among those people, there was tremendous buzz and excitement. Jesus had become very popular. The people were excited about this Messiah that had healed the sick and had raised the dead. And the people had heard Jesus teach and preach with divine power and authority. So when he comes to town, everybody cheers, everybody shouts, and everybody celebrates his arrival. But 5 days later, the cheering stopped. The attitude among the crowd went from cheers to jeers. Today on Palm Sunday, let's look at what we have identified as the triumphant entry of Jesus, his entry there into Jerusalem, and see some reasons that we as Christians today have to cheer and to celebrate and to live a life of praise. So notice with me, if you will, three things in this passage. First of all, as we talk about cheers, not jeers. First of all, number one, notice the destination. Notice the destination. Look at verse 28. Notice what it says here. When he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Jesus, of course, now at this point is with his disciples. And prior to this verse, this previous section, we see where Jesus tells a story or a parable. He's teaching once again. He finishes that parable. And then in verse 28, we see this transition. We see this statement here in verse 28. It says that what? Jesus headed for Jerusalem. This is a, this statement represents the last leg of his journey. This is the final journey, if you will, toward Jerusalem. And if you look here in Luke, it actually began a few chapters earlier. And you don't have to turn there, but let me give you this verse. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says this, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up." That's referring to Jesus. It's saying the time had come for Jesus to be nailed to that cross and be lifted up, to be received up for the whole world to see. And it says this, "It came time for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." This is a major turning point in the earthly ministry of Jesus. You know, of course, that Jesus had been to Jerusalem on several occasions. But here we see Jesus make his final journey to Jerusalem. Listen to me, church. Listen, listen. Jesus had a destination in Jerusalem, but he had a destiny with death on a cross. Amen? So Jesus makes that transition, makes that turn toward Jerusalem. Jesus knew the physical pain that he would have to endure, the torture and the suffering. He knew the shame and the rejection that he would face while he was nailed to a cross for the whole world to see. Jesus knew that he would take the agony of the punishment for all of our sins. Listen, they nailed Jesus to that cross, raised it up. Your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world, all the sins ever committed were put on the shoulders of Jesus, and the wrath and the punishment of God was poured out on Jesus for us. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. He knew he had to go through that, but yet it says here that he what? He steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. That means that Jesus was determined to complete his mission of going to the cross. He was focused on doing his Father's will of dying on the cross, dying as the supreme and final sacrifice for all of our sins. If you're a NASCAR fan, you know that the NASCAR racing season started in February. It's well underway now. And last Sunday, the Toyota Owners 400 was held in Richmond, Virginia. I read an article about that particular race, and it mentioned a race car driver by the name of William Byron. He's a race car driver. And it said in the article that William Byron and his pit crew made a decision not to pit at the end of the race and put on new, fresh tires. That is basically standard procedure in a NASCAR race. When there's about five laps left, the drivers will pit and put on fresh tires to gain an advantage. Well, William Byron and his pit crew made a decision not to put on fresh tires. The other drivers did, and Byron, as a result, lost the race. After the race, he was interviewed, and this is what he says. He said this, "I thought we did the best job we could, but obviously it did not work out." He went on to say, "There was nothing I could do." Listen, church, listen. Because of that first sin committed by Adam and Eve, all of us are born into this world as sinners. And yes, we can make that decision to go on our own and do our very best, but even our very best on our very best, there's nothing that you and I can do on our own to overcome the consequences of sin. There's nothing that we can do that will remove the stain of sin. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. We sang about the blood of Jesus a moment ago in the beginning of our service. Are you washed in the blood? I hope this morning that you know for sure that you have acknowledged the shed blood of Jesus and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, because it is only by the shed blood of Jesus that a person can be saved. It is only by the shed blood of Jesus that a person can overcome that sin stain. What is that? The words to that hymn we sing? What can wash away our sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that it is only by the shedding of blood that there is the remission of sins. Jesus had a destination with the cross, and there he would shed his blood for our sins. There's nothing we can do on our own to remove the stain of sin. There's nothing that we can do to remove the sting of death. Not only did Jesus die on that cross and shed his blood for our sins, but 3 days later, the Bible says that he was raised from the dead. Jesus had a temporary destination with death in Jerusalem, so you and I can have a final destination of eternal life in heaven. Amen, church. Oh, listen, y'all don't hear me this morning. Listen, I'm filling in, but I'm gonna preach. Listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be on our way to hell. Amen. Listen, on our own, trying our best, we lose. But with Jesus, we can live every day in victory. We have reason to celebrate. We have reason to live a life of praise. It's the fact that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, made that turn, made that transition, and headed to Jerusalem to die on the cross. So we see here, number one, first of all, we see the destination. Number two, notice the transportation. Notice the transportation. Look at verse 30 through 34. Read that again with me. Notice what it says. We continue the story, saying, this is Jesus speaking, go into the village opposite you where you enter. As you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing him? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him. So those who were sent departed and found it just as he said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, verse 34, the Lord has need of him. One of the interesting things about this part of the story is that nowhere in the Bible that Jesus traveled anywhere riding on an animal. Jesus walked everywhere he went. The only exception to Jesus walking would be when he rode in a boat. But here we see Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. I want us to park right here for just a moment. Stay with me. We're going to park right here and we're going to talk about a donkey, okay? That's real spiritual, isn't it? This donkey is symbolic of several things. It represents some things I want to talk about this morning. First of all, notice this donkey is a symbol of sustaining peace. A symbol of sustaining peace. It was very common in Bible times for the king of a nation or the leader of an army to enter his hometown, to enter his city riding a white stallion. When a king or a general had defeated an enemy nation or an enemy army, he would return to the cheers of the people. He would return to his city riding a big, strong, white stallion. In contrast, when kings and leaders would ride a donkey into a city, that meant they were coming into the city under peaceful terms. It was a symbol of surrender. It was a symbol that we are coming in peace. So we see here that Jesus rides into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a donkey, a symbol of peace. Listen to me, church, listen. It is because, it is only because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that we can have true, lasting peace. Even in the most difficult times, we can have what the Bible calls a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but I give to you." Listen, in life, we try to find that true peace, lasting peace in the things of this world, but it just does not work. Only true, lasting peace comes to the person that understands the finished work of Jesus. So we see here, real quick, notice the donkey is a symbol of sustaining peace. Not only that, it's a symbol of service. In Bible times, the donkeys were the UPS or Federal Express of their day. Even though they were relatively small in size, they would use donkeys to carry very heavy loads. Jesus promises to bear our burdens and carry our heavy loads. Sometimes in life, we feel overwhelmed by the problems of life. Just remember this. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we see here the donkey is a symbol of peace. Not only that, number two, the donkey is a symbol of sustaining peace and also a symbol of service. And number three, it's a symbol of sacredness. Notice here in this story that Jesus told those disciples to go get a donkey that what? Nobody has ever sat on. Go get a donkey nobody's ever rode before. Go get a donkey nobody's ever sat on before. You see, in Old Testament days, animals that were used for religious purposes had to be an animal that had never been worked before, never been used before, never been ridden before. And of course, we know in the Old Testament days that the priest would sacrifice an animal on behalf of the sins of the people. And the Bible says that that animal had to be spotless, without flaw. And so Jesus rode a donkey here that had not been used before. Why? Why? Because this was a God-ordained sacred event. Jesus was the Messiah going to Jerusalem to die for our sins, to die on a cross. I'm sure you've all heard of Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton. They were married in a royal wedding on April 29, 2011. I read an article about that event. It said that they, on their wedding day, they rode to their wedding in a horse-drawn carriage. And this horse-drawn carriage was very plush. It was trimmed in gold. The article said it was built in 1902 by King Edward VII. But it said something very interesting, I thought. It said that prior to the wedding, Kate Middleton insisted on practicing riding in this horse-drawn carriage. She didn't have to practice riding a horse. She wanted to practice riding in a horse-drawn carriage. Here we see a donkey that had never been ridden before. And Jesus didn't have to practice. He said, go get that donkey. It was a God-ordained sacred event. Jesus didn't have to practice, and he didn't come to town that day as royalty, but he came as a humble servant. He didn't come to Jerusalem that day as an earthly king, but he came as the Prince of Peace. He didn't ride in Jerusalem that day just as a random, simple tourist. He went to town that day as the Savior of the world. Listen, we have reason to live a life of joy, of rejoicing. No matter what problems you face, you can live a life of praise and celebration. Because of the finished work of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, we have reason to turn that frown upside down. Psalm 42, verse 11 says this, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Notice what the psalmist says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Notice here, we see reason to celebrate, reason to live a life of praise. Number one, we see the destination. Number two, the transportation. And number three, notice real quick, the explanation. Look at verse 37 and 38. Notice what it says here. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people line the streets as Jesus arrives. They cheer, they shout, they celebrate. They declare Jesus to be the Messiah. They're ready to crown him as king. But 5 days later, instead of shouting, crown him, they're yelling, crucify him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. The cheering was no longer heard. Today, that same Jesus is mocked and made fun of and ridiculed. Listen to me. Listen, church. You know this, and this is a message for another day. But we live in times like never before in our country. It seems in our society today that it's open season on Christianity. It seems that everybody gets a free pass in making fun of Christianity and mocking and ridiculing our Savior. Listen to this. Listen. Think about this. Isn't it amazing that people in our society today say and do things about our Christian faith and about our Savior? Come on, listen. That they would never say or do about any other religion or any other religious leader. Let me just say this again. Don't want to go too deep, and we got to close. But listen, in response to that, it has been said that even when 50 million fools say the same thing, there's still 50 million fools. Oh, y'all got that one, didn't you? Y'all like that? Listen, church. Listen, Adam and Eve committed that first sin. It plunged this world into sin. We live in a sin-filled world. And if lost people want to make fun of Jesus, let them. But I say to you this morning, I submit to you this morning, it's time for the Church of America to be silent no more. We have the victory. You and I are on the winning side. We have reason to celebrate. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the what? Not the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that something to get excited about and celebrate? Amen. I hope you come next Sunday ready to shout about it. But listen, I'm getting excited myself. Listen, what I'm talking about this morning is for us as individual believers, we need to live every day as a life of victory, a life of praise, a celebration. Why? Because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Listen, I want you to notice something here. At the end of this story, it says the Pharisees yelled out to Jesus while the crowd is shouting and celebrating the arrival of Jesus. Those religious leaders we call the Pharisees yelled out to Jesus, "Jesus, tell your people to be quiet." And there's people doing that today. People are trying to tell the Christians to be quiet. Let me tell you something. Don't let nobody shut you up or slow you down. Amen? Let me say to our young people, I know there's many over in the contemporary service. As I mentioned a minute ago, in America today, it is a time like never before in terms of the attack on Christianity. Young people, don't conform to the ways of this world. You stand up for your Christian faith. All of us need to stand for our Christian faith and celebrate who we are in Christ Jesus. If you've trusted Jesus as Savior, you belong to the Lord God of the universe. We have victory in Jesus. That's reason to celebrate every day. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're going through a very difficult time. Maybe you do feel overwhelmed by life's problems. Maybe it's a spiritual situation. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's something going on in your family, in your relationships. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe something at school. Listen, whatever it is, trust in your Savior. In Him we have victory. Oh, in Him we can have that true, lasting peace. Today we're going to have an invitation hymn. Mark's going to come here in this service and the praise band over in the other service, and we'll have a time of invitation. And whatever you're going through, the altar's open. You come pray about it today. God can bless you and give you a lasting peace. Listen, maybe you're here today. We've talked about this entry of Jesus in Jerusalem, how He went there to die on the cross. Maybe you realize you never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Listen, either service, don't leave here taking that chance that you'll stand before God. You'll die today and stand before God and give an account for your life and your sins. If you've trusted Jesus, the Bible says, he that believes in me, he shall never die. You can have eternal life. We know that Jesus went to Jerusalem that day to die for our sins. He died on that cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, He was raised from the dead, and He lives today. He may have rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on a donkey, but one day He's coming back, not on a donkey. He's coming back in victory on a white stallion. And all of those that have trusted in Him as Savior will come back with Him on our own stallion. And everybody loves a parade. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this story here in Your word, this short story that leads us into Easter Sunday, Easter week. We see how Jesus made that decision, that determined decision to go to Jerusalem, not just to visit, not just to celebrate Passover, but he went to Jerusalem to die on a cross. We're so thankful for that. We just can't praise you and thank you enough for the fact that you loved us so much. You sent your son Jesus into this world to die for our sins. God, help us, Lord, to not be discouraged. Regardless of what we're going through, God, help us to not be discouraged and down and out, Lord, but help us to live in victory. Live a life of praise. We see in this story how one day the people were cheering and the next day they were yelling, "Crucify him." Warren touched on that earlier in our message, Lord. May we never be guilty of that, Lord. We thank you for victory in Jesus. Lift us up here today, Lord, and help us to live every day in celebration of who we are in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark's going to lead us in that invitation hymn. Let's all stand. The altar is open. If you got something you'd like to pray about, you come. As Mark leads.